Welcome to the San Antonio Baptist Association. You're listening to a Sabbath Talks podcast.
My name is Pastor Chad Shapiro from Ignite Community Church. I want to welcome you to Sabbath Talks podcast number 3. If you have not gotten a chance to listen to podcast number 1 or 2, make sure to go back and be able to do that. We have an incredible panel here with us today that we're going to get a chance to introduce to you. I'm going to start with Dr. Horn.
I'm Daryl Horn, director of Sabbath. Glad you're listening.
I'm Elizabeth Coffey, and I am with the Baptist General Convention of Texas.
Omar Martinez, executive pastor at Mighty Fortress Church.
Dante Banks, I'm the pastor of God Chasers Community Church in San Antonio, Texas.
Gary Patterson, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship, San Antonio, Texas.
Thank you all for being here today, and I encourage you to share this out there. Get a chance to like and comment. We would appreciate it. This episode, we're going to be talking about Jesus as a disruptor, and Dr. Patterson, I'm going to turn it over to you to lead us in that.
Well, this is an interesting part of it, and I think it's the core of what we're talking about, because now we're going to talk about and sit beside the whole idea of Jesus as a disruptor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while I was thinking about that on our break, I really thought about some words, and let me just put those out there because I don't want this to degenerate into preaching, because all of us want to preach here.
Preach,
but,
man.
But let's not do that. But let's look at some disruptions. I'm just thinking just out loud.
Yeah.
Israel, church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Israel was not done away with,
right?
But the program changed to the church. A disruption.
Yes.
The cross as the center of all human history made a difference pre and post.
Right.
The cross itself is a disruptor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Law and grace.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is a disruptor. The woman at the well was disrupted in that Jesus went through a place that he had no business going through, talking to a woman he had no business talking to about a topic he had no business addressing. All while he put the church folk to go into town to get something to eat, yeah, so he could center and step outside of the boundary lines of the wholeness of how he normally operated, or they allowed him to operate, so he could focus on this woman who went into the city and disrupted the city and says, come see a man.
Yeah, that's so good.
Disruption.
Yes.
Perhaps the more subtle one is the idea of Jesus talking with his disciples around. He says, other sheep I have not of this fold.
Yep.
They must be brought in. And then he subtly puts it in the gospel. Go therefore unto all pontata ethne. That's a disruption, because we're moving outside of Israel, mm-hmm, to all the people groups across the world.
Right.
The gospel itself is a disruption.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what I want to beg us is not to see disruption as something that's foreign. It's something that really happens all the time.
Amen.
And that in the fabric of what Jesus did every day, he advocated for disruption without destroying that which was before. Right. I come not to destroy the law.
Right. Yes, that's right.
But to fulfill the law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That might be a subtle way of saying sustained innovation, mm-hmm, and moving to more disruptive innovation. I show you a better way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have heard this said. But I say unto you.
Yeah.
And in that, but I say unto you, again, contains, even in the Sermon on the Mount, a disruptive idea. And so I'd like for us to kind of reflect and have a conversation around watching the Hadidaskalos, the master of instruction, as he disrupts the world with the gospel, that we might be empowered to disrupt our communities and not be afraid to push away disruption, but to embrace it in a way that brings contextual change. Mm-hmm. So let's go around, and what else do you see in the gospel as places where we can identify disruption, either sustaining or disruptive? Let's talk about both.
I'm just going to jump in. It's conviction alone, Holy Spirit, salvation is the disruption of an individual. Spirit.
Yes, very
it
much so.
It changes your world. It changes your life. You're a new creation. And that's so powerful, because even me as a believer, somebody who loves and knows Christ, can continuously get convicted by the Holy Spirit on something that I feel like I still need to you know, strive to be better for the sake of Christ. And even this, even yesterday, you know, just, I mean, it's just pretty, very regularly. So I think that's something how Jesus continues to be, and the power of his spirit continues to disrupt us.
Can I expand that just a minute? Yeah. How about baptism? The Holy Spirit disrupts a soul and brings a soul into the church and brings about all of what you said. And then when we water baptize, we're showing a picture of the disruption that's happened in the life so that we can preach it all of those who are watching this divine disruption that just happened in the soul. Yeah. I'm sorry for capturing that, but,
no,
but
good.
It was just, it was teed up too perfectly not to mention that.
All right.
Go ahead, Dante. You had them all.
I think the primary thing, though, that I thought about as you were speaking is about a need. Mm-hmm. You know, simply put, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. God saw a need, and Jesus was the disruption to meet a need that, for whatever reason, wasn't being fulfilled. So Jesus shows up on the scene, jumps off the balcony of heaven, you know, to rescue his people. And this idea that there are still people who need to be rescued.
Yeah.
And we need to be thinking disruptively about those people who need to be rescued and how we meet that need. I love the idea that Jesus was people focused. And he said, this is how I fulfill the law, by serving people, by loving other people. And if you're going to be great in the kingdom, this is what it looks like. The last time we saw our great and mighty and powerful king, he was on his knees washing feet. And he said, this is what it looks like. And the ones of you that can get this picture, the ones of you that can disrupt this sort of status quo enough to serve other people, these are the ones of you that are the greatest in the kingdom. That had to be disruptive, especially when you thought our king was coming with a sword and a white horse to take over everything and to kill Caesar and take over the Roman Empire. And then all of a sudden you find this carpenter's son on
servant.
His knees washing feet.
Yeah.
And this is the king.
Yeah.
This is the king. I just think that's so, that in itself, the picture of who maybe the Jews or Israel thought who Jesus was going to be, or the Messiah was going to be, and who Jesus was and what he showed us about how to deal with each other, to me, that is disruption personified.
This summer, we at my church, we were going through Baptist Way Press's Ten Commandments series. And I'm saying this as a millennial because I think a lot of people assume because of my age and maybe even the way I look and who I am, that I would have a hard time with Ten Commandments or the law. And I got to co-teach this, and I think it was transformative for me to be able to see and learn how to articulate in a way that grace and what Jesus did made the law make sense, but grace was the vehicle, and the law is the vehicle for grace. That it's this like beautiful dance between the two. That we're not talking about behavior modification, right? You have heard it said, but I say, we're talking about a deep penetration of paradigm shifts in the way that we're talking about sanctification and holiness, and the how that plays out in everyday decisions between people, and the way I love people, the way I love God, and the way I care for myself. That this isn't just simply don't do this and do this. Right. It is a complete mental shift, and that's what the disruption is, right? That on the outside, I may be making the same decisions I was making when I was simply defining it as a behavior modification. Right. But what's changed is why I do that and what I genuinely, that this is an expression of not just what I believe, but my identity, that I am this. It is an expression of who I am. And I love that Jesus made all that makes sense, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, that this was no longer just law for one set of group of people. It was grace for all, and the expression of grace through a law that now could be made available to everyone. It makes sense, no matter your cultural background at the time. And now for us, no matter our previous ethic, or our previous morality, we come together here at the intersection of law and grace. And that truly is disruptive, still continues to be. It was then, it is now.
Go ahead.
For
me, also on the opposite side of the coin, who is he disrupting? The Pharisees were kind of guarding their territory, so to speak, and going forward in 2020 in our churches to reach the lost. You know, sometimes we have the habit of guarding the way we've done things in the past too much, instead of going out there and realizing that it's not about a title, or it's not about the people we're used to, a country club. It's about reaching the lost, just as Jesus was, and disrupting and making a change in that manner of not guarding, but to be able to realize why we are really there, to be able to go out and serve that unreached people group, and exactly what Jesus did.
That's right. And just the fearlessness. I mean, think about that. Like, how fearless Jesus was. I think about that often, even sometimes when I want to tie three ropes together and tear the church up. No, I'm just kidding. But I think about the fearlessness of Jesus with his mission and, you know, what he knew he was here to do. He was so fearless to the point of, I have this mission, I have this job to do, and I'm going to do this job. And if it feels like a disruption to you, I'm sorry. But I just think about that idea that, you know, in his metron, in his area of operation, he was just so fearless. And I think in order to be disruptive, there's a certain level of fearlessness you got to have, right? Like, you got to carry this fearlessness with you that, you know, I come to do the work of the Lord, and this is what I'm called to do, and this is the vision that God has given me. And I don't know, I almost want to encourage people to be more fearless in being a disruptor. If that's what God called you to do, step out, encourage yourself, pat yourself on the back, and get to the place where you can look like Jesus as he was, so are we on this earth.
Let me introduce a topic and just for a few minutes, we've got a few minutes left, that's kind of the dark side of this. Mm. If we could go there just for a few minutes, then we'll come back up on the lighter side. But what's the cost?
Right there, like, that's so good. There's some kind of collateral damage, right there, like.
Well, I guess I'm asking the group to consider Jesus, the cost of discipleship, as you just talked about, right, taking that risk.
Right.
Because there's not always a positive payoff.
Right.
Somebody had to look down from the cross every once in a while, right, and say, Father, forgive them because they know not what they're doing. Yeah. There's a cost sometimes to decide to disrupt. And in business, it's the same way. So I'm wondering, as leaders, as we take the risk you just talked about, Dante, how do we consider the cost to dare to disrupt? To go where we need to go and be who we need to be.
In considering that, studying disruptive innovation, I came to the conclusion, one of many, that if you're going to be a disruptive innovator, then you're going to have to weather the storm of criticism, because people will think that you're trying to tear down what they built over time, when in essence, you're not doing that. Jesus gave the commandment, a new commandment I give you, to love one another, to go this direction. But I think also about Paul in the book of Acts. He got frustrated with the Jews.
Right.
And at some point he said, I'm going to go on to the Gentiles.
Right.
And he made that shift, and Paul was persecuted.
That's right.
I mean, you look at 2 Corinthians 11, he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, but he stayed on course.
Right.
He knew what the course was, the path that God had called him to follow. But there is a price to pay.
Yeah.
And to be successful in a sense of fulfilling or allowing that disruptive innovation to take a life of its own, you have to be able to weather the storm.
Right.
And sometimes that comfort, like Paul and Silas in the prison, there's nobody else around.
Yeah.
The only comfort you have is from God, knowing that you're doing what God called you to do. But it sure looks dark, and, you know, it's sure painful being beat up. Sometimes for us it's just words, but for them, being literally beaten for the message that they were proclaiming, even the message that overcame the demonic force that was in that girl, when they used the power of Christ to cast out that demon, that went against the culture of that city, but they paid a price for it. But God showed up in the end.
Yeah, I think that price is something that as churches and pastors and social media can actually harm us in some ways, because we think everybody else is just getting straight up to the right, that there's no price they paid, that they just had success in their innovation that they've come up with, and there was no struggle to it. But in reality, there was a struggle to it. It did take time. They did have people question them along the way, just like you and I are going to have those same questions. And to be able to leap forward, we have to bend our knees. So we're actually going down in order to come up. And the more that we expect that, the more that we understand that there's that price, the more we will weather those storms at the beginning and be able to lead that out, not just for ourselves and our church, but the congregation and them outreaching to their community and beyond, whatever they might be participating in.
Yeah, you asked what the cost was, and I'll get a little personal here because, I mean, those of you in this room know that our church is a little disruptive. I'll say our church was intentionally disruptive because we saw that there was a market that was not being served. And so we did a lot of things initially to try to serve a certain market. And I do compare it to Paul's in Acts chapter 15, him going to essentially argue. The Bible says from morning to night, they argued about whether or not to circumcise Gentiles. And this was a whole thing. And they went back and forth. And at the end of the day, I don't think everybody totally agreed, but they allowed Paul to create another lane, to create another river. He disrupted that space. And then in Galatians, he sort of explains it out where he says, and for that, I've been crucified. So what's the cost? Death. But he said, I've been crucified with Christ. Not so I don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in me. And if you're going to be a disruptor, you have to. Yes, the cost is death. It's dying to yourself. It's dying to what people think about you. It's dying to some predilections, and it's dying to fear. It's dying to that idea that that idea that I cannot do this. I can do all things to Christ through Christ who strengthens me. So, I think that's the cost.
Well, I mentioned that so that when we take the risk, we don't deceive ourselves.
Right.
Because there's a cost to change. And I think to think through and anticipate what some obstacles may be, we can prepare for them. Jesus said it this way, screamed out at me as you were talking about that, Dante. It is the whole idea, deny yourself. And then he uses the phrase, take up your cross.
Take up your cross, that's right.
Then follow me.
Yeah.
And I think he's preparing us not for just everything positive and everything's going to go well, but how to exist in the dungeon for a little while, because I think the doctrine teaches, Elizabeth, that sometimes there's a little dungeon movement before it takes off to success.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the doctrine, Christensen talked about, it doesn't change all at once. It changes slowly at time and moves, as you said, moves upward in that way. So
great. Just in recap, as we get ready to close podcast number 3, I'm just going to go around the table. Closing thoughts.
I think one of the things that stood out to me in the discussion is Jesus's command to go to all the people groups of the earth. That was gospel-centered for Jews, but Jesus is breaking that paradigm and saying, this is for everybody. Mm-hmm. No matter your language, your cultural background, your heritage, where you grew up in the earth, everybody gets to hear. Everybody gets to be a part of it. And breaking that paradigm, I think, is significant.
I think the thing that I'm leaving with today is what this requires. This requires a radical discernment of the movement of the Holy Spirit, a closeness to the movement of God and direction from God, because we can function on a lot of assumptions, and we can function and ebb and flow with the comments and criticisms of people around us. But if we're dedicated to the gospel at the pace and movement of the Spirit, then it requires a radical discernment of that, to the point where Jesus, up to his dying moment, did not give up. He turned and he invited a man on the cross next to him into paradise.
That's so good.
Which is a disruption.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think I just noticing that Jesus disrupting mankind and individuals it's been happening for a very long time, and I'm looking forward to continuing to happen.
Amen.
Yeah. I think as a final thought, Gary Patterson's got me feeling all emotional right now, but as a final thought, I do think about the cost of disruption. And I think about the fact that there was only one disciple at the cross.
Yeah.
Thousands of people followed one disciple at the cross.
Yeah, that's good. That's
you know, and sometimes it's going to feel like that. You know, Netflix was started in 1997. Nobody knows that. We only know about what now. We watch right now. Yeah. But there is something, there is this idea that it might only be one disciple at the cross, you know, and there is a cost to that disruption. But,
that's good.
You know, if I'm, Jesus said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. I think that's valuable. I think that's valuable.
Something that came out of the fog to me, that the cross is the disruptor of all human history.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
Powerful, powerful. So that'll wrap us up for podcast number 3 of Saba Talks. I encourage you to share this and like and comment, and look forward to listening to podcast number 4 coming up soon. Take care and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Saba Talks podcast. We look forward to continuing our conversation next time in hopes of better connecting, encouraging, and supporting churches for kingdom impact.